Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Monday, January 30th, 2023, live to be broadcast on Wednesday, February 1st, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. Yep. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let me know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FransDorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Okay, so some timely housekeeping things. First of all, today is my nephew Marley's 10th birthday. He's 10. He's a tween. Can you even believe it? I remember in 2013 when I went to Princeton Plainsboro Hospital, which I thought was a hoot. It was called Princeton Plainsboro Hospital because there didn't used to be one. And they built it on Route 1. And Princeton Plainsboro Hospital was the name of the hospital that House worked in. And I will never forget watching House. And I had been watching it for a little while, and, you know, House was popular, 15 years ago, something like that, and it's getting close to 20. Well, it's more like 15 years ago, and I was watching House, and, you know, I've been enjoying the show, and then one day I saw him standing at a lectern, and the lectern said Princeton Plainsboro Hospital, and I said, you're S-ing me. I'm not going to say what I actually said, because I used to live in Plainsboro. It's in New Jersey. And, you know, it was part, I suppose it was supposed to be affiliated with Princeton Hospital. But it wasn't, at that time, there was no Princeton Plainsboro Hospital. It was Princeton Hospital that was in Princeton on Witherspoon Street. And then Princeton Plainsboro was built. It actually opened in May of 2012, around the same time that the last episode of House aired. It was pretty crazy. And so one of the things that I remember going into the hospital around when Marley, you know, my sister was in the hospital and Marley had just been born. She had a C-section. And so I was in and out of the hospital, and there was this neat wall decoration or neat fountain decoration that was glass with water cascading over it. And you'll see that, you know, in some buildings, it makes them pretty. Well, they had that exact same decoration, that exact same style fountain in Princeton Plainsboro Hospital in this TV show. I was so psyched. So anyway, that's where Marley was born. I'm very psyched about Marley, our little Aquarius. I'm sure he'll be some kind of artistic. And one of the things I realized today is our friend Bruce just texted us and said, hey, it's my granddaughter June's birthday today. She made it to 10 years old. Can you believe it? And I said, no way. So Marley and June have the exact same birthday. How cool is that? So I'm really psyched. So happy birthday. So Marley had parties. He had brought cupcakes to school last week, and he had a birthday party over the weekend. And then tonight we'll do a group, video chat, so I can watch him open his present, and that'll be nice because they're in New Jersey and I don't get to see them much, which is unfortunate. Anyway, so that's one of the things that's going on. So the other thing is I've been doing lots of yoga, which is really great. I'm doing yoga with two studios. I do it at home because it's just easier for me. It's less stressful for me to do it in my house. And I have a nice setup and I have all the props I need. And I just go into my room, set up the yoga, and I put it on the iPad and I stream it to the TV. Apple AirPlay it to the TV, and I do the class, and it's great. So I'm bouncing between Yono and Samadhi right now, which is really fun. So I get a variety of good teachers, big shout out to Angie and big shout out to Amy over at Samadhi. And I'm going to probably take Maria's class at Samadhi as well. So I've been enjoying that. And the other housekeeping thing is, I have a dear friend named Valerie Simonson. And when I was in Oregon, when I first got to Oregon, I needed a place to live. And there was this young woman named Kristen, who was a few years younger than me, Kristen Stiles. and Kristen got married. And I cannot remember what her married name is, but Kristen and Valerie were in my class, and Kristen was searching for people to be housemates with. And she descended upon me and insisted that I be her housemate. And she found Valerie as well. And she pushed us and said, we're going to get a place together. And I was really glad she did it, because she did all the legwork and she found us a place. And she found us a place on Northeast Wasco Street, which is in the Hollywood district of Portland. And so I had these two great housemates, apartment mates, Kristen and Valerie. And it turned out we only wound up being housemates for a semester, pretty much because Kristen got a boyfriend and then she wanted to move in with her boyfriend. And so the apartment disbanded and I went and moved to Taylor Street on the corner of Taylor and 41st and or 42nd and Taylor in Southeast Portland, which is sort of between the Belmont District and Hawthorne District. So that was fun. And I lived there the rest of my years at upstairs and downstairs in Portland. But anyway, Valerie did something very interesting with her life. She, after graduating, she ultimately got very interested in shamanic teachings, and she became kind of a nomad. Valerie's originally from Montana, and I'd never met anybody from Montana before. And so I found her very interesting, and she dressed in sort of, cowgirl kind of stuff. And she's a very interesting, beautiful, spiritual kind of person. And she's become just a really lovely, lovely person. And anyway, so she has an organization called You Know More. And this organization has seminars and retreats for caregivers. And so if you're a caregiver of some kind, any kind of caregiver, whether you're a naturopathic physician or whether you do Reiki or whether you're a life coach or whether you're, an MD or an ND or whatever your title is, but you're a caregiver, you can hook up with You Know More. And you can do seminars with them and you can do retreats with them, and they'll take you to wonderful tropical places. Because Valerie travels all over the world. I'm not sure how she does it, but she winds up in Hawaii and she winds up in Guam and she winds up just all these amazing tropical places. And then sometimes she hangs out in Montana. And so anyway, tonight I'm very excited because they have a webinar, a You Know More webinar. And it'll be 7 o'clock Eastern time. And it's for You Know More. So if you're interested, you can look up You Know More, and I believe it's youknowmore.com, but, it is a webinar and it's by donation. So, it's affordable. And so I'll be spending some time, getting some support for, caregiving to myself, as a caregiver. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited to actually have a conversation with Valerie. Valerie and I have been chatting back and forth over Facebook in the last number of years, but, I'll be really excited to actually speak with her tonight. So that's going to be kind of cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right. So, and I'm going to talk about this on your show too, if you'll let me. Yesterday,
if I'll let you.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you. It depends what you have going on. Sometimes you tell me to be quiet on your show and whatever. anyway, so here's what it is. Yesterday, on Saturday, I was just going about doing fun little Saturday things. I was very psyched because I got all my work done. I submitted my taxes. I didn't have any work stuff to do on Saturday, so I was just wandering around. I had bought a cute little pair of boots on Amazon and then realized that Ron had also bought them for me. So I went to return them at Kohl's. So I did that. And, I went to the Hampton General store and saw my friend Kara over there, who runs the Hampton General store. And Kara is amazing. She bakes and she makes soap and she sells cute little toys. And I bought myself a set of Jacks But the highlight is I got to visit Brutus, and Brutus is the vanilla caramel pit bull mix, and he's so sweet and lovey. I literally sit on the floor and snuggle with him, and he kisses me. It's so adorable. And when I walked in, I was not greeted by Brutus. I'm like, where's Brutus? I was greeted by another dog who was just as happy to see me. It was very exciting. And this was Roscoe. Roscoe was, you know, a third of the size of Brutus, and he was a combo wire-haired terrier and schnauzer. And he was black with, you know, little tan points, and he had tan eyebrows. He was so cute. Oh my goodness. So I got to hang out with both Roscoe and Brutus yesterday, and Kara, and Roscoe's person, Mark, and buy some goodies at the Hampton General Store. So I had kind of a nice time yesterday doing that. And so that was kind of fun. So it was a nice relaxing kind of day, and I feel like there was something else I wanted to talk about that I found out while I was doing the while I was at Kohl's. If I think of it, I guess I'll tell you about it. So we should go ahead and get into the things that I wanted to talk about today. So Ron sent me a note about that, you know, you might have heard that it's bad for you to sit, right? That sitting is not a good thing for you.
Bad.
Right. So he sent me an article, and I thought I'd address it, why too much sitting is bad for you. I'm just going to, before I even get into it, I'm going to talk about the position I'm sitting in right now. I'm sitting in a chair. My feet are barely touching the floor because the chair is a little bit too high for me. And I'm sitting up straight. And this is a position that we often sit in when we're sitting at the computer or sitting reading a book or sitting at the dinner table. I hate this position. I do not like to be in this position. It makes me not feel very good. It makes me, you know, I have mild dysautonomia because I have some health issues that brought me to dysautonomia. So I have mild orthostatic. I'm much, much better than I was. Don't get me wrong. But I have some mild dysautonomia. So this position, I don't feel good in it. And one of the reasons is because I'm sitting and I have my legs below my heart. And so even though I have good circulation because I exercise a lot and I breathe a lot, I spend a lot of time doing, you know, yogic breathing and stuff, I don't think this is a good position for Venus return. When what I probably should have right here is I should have something under my feet. So my legs are at least a little bit elevated. And at my office, I actually bought a nice soft footrest. So my legs are a little bit elevated while I'm sitting at the desk. And I kind of need to do that because I'm a shrimp. If I were taller, my legs might reach the ground more. But my legs right now, they're actually at an angle. They're angled down. That's not good for you. So if you're sitting at a desk, you want to be ergonomically correct, and you want your legs to be at least at a 90-degree angle, if not an acute angle. That's a lot better for you. It's a lot better for your Venus return. I don't even like to sit at the table eating. And I'm just wondering if there are certain cultures, you know, where they don't sit at tables to eat, they sit on the floor. And when you sit on the floor, you have to do something else with your legs. And you can sit cross-legged, you can sit with your knees up. You have a lot of options about where you can put your legs, but you don't have your legs much below your body. And the problem with this is Venus return. It's not advantageous for Venus return. The higher your legs are up, the better Venus return you're going to get. And, you know, if you have problems with varicose veins or circulation in your legs, sitting with your legs at a 90-degree angle or more of an obtuse angle, you know, not more than 90 degrees, you know, 90 plus, is not good for you. That's not even what I'm about to talk about. What they're going to get into is why it's bad for you to sit all the time, and why you're not getting exercise, and you're looking at screens. I'm not sure what they're going to get into, but we'll talk about that. But this position is kind of harsh. So one of the solutions is if you have to sit at a computer, then you want to make sure you're ergonomically correct. You want your feet to be at least at a 90 degree angle, if not more. Get yourself a footrest so you can your feet can be somewhat elevated and you have options about where you can put your feet. And then we'll talk about, you know, how to mitigate this sitting thing. And then the other thing that you do to mitigate this is if you're in an office situation where nobody minds if you do some yoga poses, get on the floor and do the yoga pose that is the antithesis to sitting is, so there's going to be a couple things. One of them is going to be putting your legs in the air, and the other one is going to be doing some yoga pose that stretches your hip flexors. So the yoga pose where you put your feet in the air is a very restorative pose. So what you're basically doing is you lie on your back, and it's better, I think, if you support your sacrum with a block, or it could be a block, it could be a pillow, it could be a rolled up blanket or towel, but it's nicer if you support your sacrum with one of those. And you don't have to have any props at all, but you lie down on the floor and then you put your legs in the air at a 90 degree angle from your body. So your legs are going straight up. That is so good. It is so restorative. It is really helpful for venous return. If muscularly you have a strength issue around holding your legs in the air, then what you do is you scooch up to either your bed or your dresser or the wall and rest your legs against the wall, again, at that 90 degree angle. And then if you rest them against, the bed or the wall, or the dresser, then you don't have to hold them up in the air. You're allowing them to relax against the wall. And again, the whole idea is that your feet are upside down. You're getting good venous return. Your legs are above your heart. It's very, very restorative and healing to have your legs above your heart. Great for venous return. This position, not my favorite. When I'm sitting and relaxing, I'm either sitting in bed with my legs propped up, or I insisted that Ron get me I have a favorite chair in the living room, and I'll sit and chat with Ron in the living room, and he likes to sit on the couch, and he doesn't seem to mind having his legs below his heart. You probably should put your legs up too.
Okay.
Yeah, but I really like to have my legs up, so he got me a hassock, and it's an adorable hassock. It's pink, of course, and it's covered in a velvety it's a pink velvety fabric, and it has a top. It's also a box, and it opens up and you can stick stuff inside it. And I have little cushions that I lie on, that I sit on the chair, and Ron put them in there. I said, don't put them in there. They need to live on the chair. So everybody who sits in that chair ever has to lean against these cushions, and the cushions are mushmushes. They're plush, big square plush toys, and they're pretty colors. And that's that. So anyway, putting your feet up is really important. And the other thing about sitting that's really hard is you're in this position where your hip flexors, your hips are flexed all the time. Look, it's Marley. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Marley. Your hips are always flexed. So that's not a good thing for you either. And stretching your hip flexors is not the easiest thing in the world to do. What I tell people to do is you do a lunge. You get on the ground and you do a lunge. And in yoga, it's called knee down warrior. So basically, it's a lunge and you have your knee on the ground and you push your knee back as far as is comfortable for you. And then you lean into your hip flexors. You can also do that on a couch or a bench. You put your knee on the couch and then you lean forward so that your hip flexor is at least a 45 degree angle, if not more. So you want it. You don't want your knee to be straight up and down. You want that hip flexor to come back so it's at a diagonal. And then you lean into that hip flexor, and that'll help you stretch your hip flexor. There's got to be a way to be lying down to stretch your hip flexor. I think you would have to do it on your tummy. And
pigeon.
Wouldn't be. No. Pigeon doesn't stretch your hip flexor. Well, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong. It does.
It does.
Because it stretches the straight leg. You're right. But pigeon is difficult.
It also will, it will make you tell all the secrets of the world if someone continues to make you do it.
Well, there are ways to do, there are ways to do pigeon. Do you, when you're, when you've been practicing pigeon, are you using a block?
I use blocks. Yeah. That's, there's no question as to whether I should use blocks. Yes.
So do I.
Our hip flexors,
our hips are just too tight, and it's the iliotibial band that's tight. It makes it really difficult, you know, to put the leg in front. But you're right that you're going to get your hip flexor with the leg. But that's not an easy pose to do. It's easier to do. I mean, if you're going to stretch your hip flexor, it's much easier to do knee down warrior. And it's even easier to do knee down warrior or, you know, just do that basically knee down warrior on a couch or the bed or a bench so that your knee is supported. And if you're going to do knee down warrior, one of the things you want to do is take a jelly or a pillow or even a fuzzy slipper and put it under your knee. A rolled up blanket will work too. And right. So support your knee so because your knee tends to push into the ground when you're doing that.
You know, John Ryan showed me something this morning in spin class, after spin class, a pigeon, but he goes up against a wall with it.
Oh yeah, there you go.
And,
you can do that.
And then your back is flat on the floor and you can relax your whole upper body while you press back on the
Well, you
the
can
pigeon.
Also do recline pigeon, but recline pigeon doesn't get your hip flexors as much. It gets the right. iliotibial band, but it doesn't do, it doesn't get the hip flexors as much because when you do recline pigeon, you're pulling your thigh into your chest, so you don't get the hip flexor as much. But you know, when you're doing you know, a pigeon up front and you're sending your leg back, you will get the straight leg. You'll get the hip flexor there. So those are good hip flexor stretches. You can also do dancer. So that's where you, and it's easier if you hold on to something. If you do dancer, now if you can do dancer without holding on to anything, that's great. So dancer, you hold on to something. Let's just say you're going to hold on to something. You grab hold of your foot. So now you have a quad stretch and then you lean forward and you pull your leg back. So again, you're opening up that hip flexor. That's another thing that you can do. Not super easy, but something that you can do. All right, so let's talk about, so before I get into why sitting is so bad for you, I remembered what I wanted to tell you about. And that's that while I was sitting in the parking lot before, you know, opening up my Kohl's app, I got a text from my friend Martin and he said, want to go ride tomorrow? We should do a slow roll. And I said to myself, if somebody asks me to ride and is willing to ride with me, I'm going to say yes. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it. And I was very delighted to hear from Martin. And the nice thing about hearing from Martin is Martin doesn't live too far from me, which meant we were going to ride locally. He was willing to come to my house and start from my house. So it made it really easy. So where do you want to go? You want to go get a treat? He said, no, we don't have to get a treat. Let's just ride. And I said, great. We'll go see the alpacas. So we plotted a course for Geiger Hill and Celtic Hill Alpaca Farm. And so we went to visit the alpacas and they're so cute. So I decided that this year I am going to go and see the alpacas and I'm going to plan different alpaca trips and find the alpacas and I'll do alpaca related bike trips. And I'm calling it Alpaca Quest 2023. So yesterday was the first episode of Alpaca Quest 2023. So I'm going to visit the alpacas. And camelids count. So if I go and see llamas, that counts too. So it has to be, mostly it has to be alpacas, and I'm going to focus on alpacas. But if I happen to see a llama, that's okay too. And they do have a llama at Celtic Hill. So when you go to Celtic Hill, the llamas come over, the alpacas come over, they're very curious and they say hello. And I believe they have them divided as to males and females. I didn't realize that why some of the alpacas were in one pen and then there were other alpacas that were sort of in the middle penned off from them. And then I realized why the ones who were right close to the road were girls and the ones that were in the other pen were boys. So they keep them separated. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so a little offspring for your Monday enjoyment. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Alpaca Quest 2023, I'm looking very much forward to it, and look for updates on Alpaca Quest 2023. Episode one was yesterday, and I posted some photos of Martin and I and the alpacas, and I'm going to go to Celtic Hill a lot because it's easy and I know where it is, but I've got to find the other alpacas. Okay. So now let's get into the other stuff around sitting. What's the deal with sitting? It's not so good for you. The suggestion is that it can be deadly.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit at your computer all day and then lie around on the sofa for screen time in the evening, it's not good for you. Shocking, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it's not good for you to have a sedentary lifestyle. You can get dementia. You can get diabetes. You can get cardiovascular disease. Shocking. One study found, irrespective of whether a person exercises, if they sit more than 12 to 13 hours a day, they're more than twice as likely to die early compared to people who sat the least. So don't sit so much. You can cut that, and you can cut the risk with not very much activity. So Keith Diaz at Columbia University Medical Center and colleagues set out to figure out what's the least amount of physical activity you got to do to offset sitting. And so they got volunteers, and they had the volunteers sit for 8 hours. They did continuous glucose monitors and measured their blood pressure. And then they took walking breaks. This is brilliant. They took walking breaks of varying intensities and distances and time. And so they walked on a treadmill, like really easy, 1.9 miles an hour. And the researchers were shocked by how powerful the effects were. So people who moved 5 minutes every hour saw blood sugar, every half hour, saw blood sugar spikes after a meal reduced by almost 60%. How cool is that? If you just move, that's all you got to do. 5 minutes every half hour.
That's not a lot.
No. So it's surprising to some doctors. We know that exercise can help control blood sugar. But what's new is how beneficial frequent short bouts of movement can be. And some doctors are like, you don't see that kind of blood sugar drop except with meds. So more than one out of every three adults. So what is that? One and a half of every three adults? How do you measure half an adult? Has pre-diabetes and also has high blood pressure, according to the CDC. And those, of course, increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular disease is the top cause of death in the U.S., higher than COVID, higher than the flu, higher than cancer. Cardiovascular disease is it. So you're advised to get 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity. And you can break it into smaller chunks, like 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, or even shorter breaks that are more frequent. And for a lot of people, it's easier to do the short stuff. And even the pace of walking in the study was too slow to even count as moderate. It's more considered to be easy. So if you swing your arms when you walk, you're gonna get more benefits. The other thing you can do is turn on music. And, you know, one of the things I notice is that my staff, when they feel like it, they'll turn on music, and I have no issue with them doing it. And especially at the end of the day when the patients are gone, Amy likes to play some pretty rockin' music out front, and I'm totally good with that. I have a hard time listening to music and working at the same time, but Amy does not. And so if the music is quiet enough, and, you know, when she's up front, I can't hear it too well. It's, you know, it's pretty quiet, so it doesn't bother me. If it bothers me too much, I close my door. But, that's going to cause Amy to bounce around and have some fun while she's doing her work, which is good for her to keep her from sitting a lot. And also, the other thing that helps you with blood sugar control is going for a stroll after a meal. So, you know, that thing we do where the last thing we do is eat supper and then we're sedentary. That's not good for you. So
no.
Really, we should be eating earlier and then going for a walk afterwards. But you have to, in order to do that, you have to eat early enough, and you have to, like, it has to be light out if you're going to walk outside, or you have to walk in the dark, or you have to do something inside that's easy. And our day's just not set up that way. So exercise, when we exercise, our muscles require sugar. And we contract our muscles. Our bodies use this GLUT4 transporter protein. They rise to the surface of the muscle cells and escort glucose molecules into the cells. So when you do physical activity, it helps to clear the sugar out of your muscles. So encouraging movement for the day has benefits for workers, because your body was not designed to sit 8 hours at a time. And people are going to be in a better mood because they're taking the breaks, and moving your bodies during the work days is not a waste of time. You shouldn't think of it as a waste of time. You should think about it as a way to make a worker more efficient. If you get up and move around, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more efficient. And you're going to get your work done sooner. Well, I mean, if you're more efficient, you're going to get your work done sooner. Get your work done sooner, you can go home sooner. Yeah. And then you can go home and you can relax. And then you can eat a meal, and then you can do some exercise after your meal. So how cool is that?
Cool.
So that's very interesting. All right. So go back to that. All right. And here's some more. Now, here's the Mayo Clinic's take. And here are the risks of sitting too much. So let's see when this was written. Okay, so this was written last year. So this is a relatively recent article. When you sit, you use less energy than when you stand up and moved. When you sit for a long time, you are more at risk for obesity and a cluster of conditions like increased blood pressure, high blood sugar, body fat around the waist, and unhealthy cholesterol levels. And so you're, in general, you're more at risk for metabolic syndrome. And you also increase your risk for death from cardiovascular disease and cancer. So that includes sitting behind a desk. And I didn't think of this, sitting behind a wheel if you drive for a living.
Sure.
Yes, that's another issue. So that's whether you're a bus driver or a driver of a big rig, or, you know, not even a big rig, if you're, you know, you're the delivery person for the lab or something like that, or, you know, just anything where you drive a lot. If you deliver Instacart or Uber or whatever, right? So there was an analysis of 13 studies of sitting time and activity levels. Those who sit for more than 8 hours a day with no physical activity have a risk of dying similar to that posed by obesity and smoking. But found that 60 to 75 minutes of moderately intense physical activity a day. What? 60 to 75 minutes of moderately intense physical activity per day countered the effects of too much sitting. People can't exercise 60 to 75 minutes every day. I don't recommend that to anybody.
That's more than you need.
Yeah. So you don't, and you don't have to do that. So what the study in the last article was talking about is getting up every half an hour and moving for 5 minutes. That's kind of a lot too, because I don't know if I would do that as much. I mean, what I tend to do, you certainly want to take a break from sitting every 30 minutes. If you're talking on the phone, or even if you're watching TV, you can stand up and doing that. If you work at a desk, get a standing desk or use a high table or counter. And when you have meetings, consider walking with your colleagues, and position your work surface above a treadmill with a computer screen and keyboard on a stand or a specialized treadmill-ready vertical desk, and so that you can get more movement throughout the day. I like to talk about exercise snacks that anytime you have, so say you, at least if you finish a task, get up and either stretch or walk around or do a physical exercise. And I like to tell people to do exercise snacks. Exercise snacks are where you exercise for 2 to 5 minutes at a time. So you do some stretches, you do some squats, you do some yoga poses, you do some lunges, you have light weights at your desk or bands, and you do some stuff with the light weights or bands. Get an exercise ball and squeeze, like a handheld exercise ball, and squeeze on it. Get a big exercise ball and do some crunches on that. Anything that you do that's going to be that includes movement is going to help mitigate this risk. And what I tend to do at work, and I've talked about this before, is first of all, because I'm seeing patients, if I'm seeing a new patient or an extended follow-up patient, and the visit is for an hour, I'm going out to the waiting room. I'm escorting the patient in. And then I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do physical exam with that patient. And if it's a shorter visit, then I'm going to stand up a lot sooner. I mean, 20 minutes into the visit, 20, 25 minutes into the visit, I'm going to do physical exam and then, of course, escort the patient out. So I'm getting breaks during the workday that way. And then if I'm not in patient care, say I'm charting, what I do is when I finish a task, I stand up. And so I have a stack of charts where either I'm charting the work for the day or I'm answering a question or ordering labs or something. When I'm finished with the chart, I do not stack them on another surface and then keep going. I stand up, I take that chart, and I walk to where the next stop for the chart is, whether it's the front desk or whether it's, you know, to be filed. And even though that's sort of less efficient than just setting it down, it's more efficient because I'm standing up and walking around. And then, of course, you know, if I'm in a place where I just need a break, I just take a break, you know, and my staff can do that too. If my staff needs to stretch or get some kind of exercise or turn on some music and dance to make themselves feel better, I am all for it. You know, if the work gets done, it's totally fine.
So the CDC says that physical activity is anything that gets your body moving. Each week, adults need 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity and 2 days of muscular strength training.
Yeah.
That's the latest.
Yeah. That's been around for a while. And
yeah, I thought they just changed it. And
most people don't get that, though.
Yeah, but I think they upped it. I think they upped it recently.
Right.
But I might be wrong.
Yeah. I think I'm there. I'm getting 150 minutes. I already did 60 today. I got on the trainer for 60.
I know they upped it because that's only 30 minutes a day for 5 days.
Oh, right. Okay. So I think it
got pushed up to like 40 minutes a day for 5 days recently.
I thought
I remember seeing a post on that.
And most of my patients don't get it. They're not getting it. Their lives are set up so that it makes it really difficult to get that exercise, and people don't prioritize it, and people don't have it built into their day.
Well,
so here's an interesting article. So this is from Science Daily, and this suggests that sitting is not the new smoking, contrary to popular myth. This is from the University of South Australia, and it was written in 2018. So I wanted to look at this because I thought it was interesting. This article's just over 4 years old. So sitting's not the new smoking, despite what countless newspaper articles have read. It's the consensus from an international team of researchers who've laid to rest misleading claims comparing the health dangers of sitting for long periods with smoking cigarettes. I bet that's true because, let's face it, while you're sitting, you're not inhaling polyaromatic hydrocarbons, and
right,
you're not inhaling heavy metals, and you're not otherwise damaging the inside of your lungs.
Right.
It's really what you're not doing. You're not moving. You're not using your blood sugar. You're not exercising your muscles. But you're not wrecking your lungs. The only way you're wrecking your lungs is you may be becoming deconditioned.
Right.
Which is not the same as major oxidative damage to the inside of your lung tissue. So
right,
that may be what this is about. So, you know, research does suggest that excessive sitting more than 8 hours a day increases the risk of premature death and chronic disease by 10 to 20%. it pales in comparison with the risks of smoking, which that makes sense. So smoking increases your risk of premature death from any cause by about 180%, the researchers say, which again makes sense because name your cancer, smoking can cause it. Wherever cigarette smoke touches, it can give you cancer. You can get cancer on your lips. You can get cancer in anywhere in your mouth. You can get cancer of your tongue. Think about everywhere the smoke touches. You can get cancer anywhere on the mucosal surfaces of your mouth. You can get cancer in your throat. You can get cancer in your larynx. You can get your larynx, meaning your voice box. You can get cancer in your esophagus because some of the smoke's going to go down your esophagus. You can get cancer in your stomach. It's really not going to get past the stomach in terms of the digestive system. So you're not going to get cancer from the smoke touching your small intestine. However, you could get colon cancer, but that's not by the same mechanism, not because the smoke is getting down there. It's because you have more oxidative damage. So you can get colon cancer too. Then of course, any of the structures that have to do with breathing, as we said, your mouth, your throat, your trachea, your bronchi, your entire lungs, you can get cancer, any of those places.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I guess I was thinking about getting lung cancer and I had to cough.
There you go.
So smoking can cause other cancers, too, because you've got more polyaromatic hydrocarbons in your bloodstream. You can get cancer of your kidneys. You can get bladder cancer. Smoking can cause bladder cancer. And that's not because the smoke made it to your bladder. It's because of the heavy metals and the polyaromatic hydrocarbons made it all the way down to your bladder. So this is the point that they're making. Media stories that compare sitting with smoking increased 12-fold from 2012 to 2016, and some respected academic and clinical institutions have spread that myth. So the idea is that smoking is one of the greatest public health disasters of the past century. Sitting isn't, and you really can't compare the two. I'm still going to say that sitting is bad for you. It's not good for you to sit all that time. They're saying sitting is the new smoking. Not necessarily. Like, if you do the numbers, if you crunch the numbers, it's probably true that smoking will increase your chances of death from all causes. And so that's absolutely true. But it's probably greater than sitting. But sitting does increase your risk of cardiovascular disease and also of other things it's mostly cardiovascular disease and blood sugar disorders. And if you have more blood sugar disorders, you are at greater risk of cancer. Why? Because of oxidative damage. Anything that messes with your blood, if you have too much sugar in your blood, you're going to be more likely to have oxidative damage and you're going to be more likely to get cancer. So the economic impact and number of deaths caused by smoking outweighs those of sitting. The annual global cost of smoking attributable diseases in the United States was nearly $500 billion in 2012. And smoking is expected to cost at least a billion deaths in the 21st century. And also, sitting is neither an addiction nor a danger to others. If I sit near you, it's not going to hurt you. In fact, you probably will like it. If I sit near you.
Okay.
Whereas if I smoke near you, I can give you secondhand smoke, which is no good.
There you go.
So you shouldn't really be equating the risks of sitting and smoking. So I'm going to say it's not that it's being equated. It's that it's a health habit or a lack of a health habit that a lot of people have that are increasing their risks of morbidity, and you know it's going to be made more likely to cause death. So in that way it is similar, but it's not exactly the same, that you're more likely to die if you smoke than if you sit for long periods of time. But sitting for long periods of time will increase your mortality and morbidity risk. They absolutely do. And the way that they do it is they increase cardiovascular disease and they increase your risk of blood sugar disorders. Blood sugar disorders increase your risk of cardiovascular disease as well as cancer. So if you could not sit, it's really good. So how to avoid too much sitting? So as I said, my routine at work is bring the charts one by one to their next stop. I rise anyway to greet, examine, and release patients. But when I'm doing charts, I have a natural break when I finish a chart. 5-minute stretches during commercials if you're watching TV. You can use your phone to ping you to stand up at most every 30 minutes. Step outside for a few minutes and get sunshine. So if you work somewhere where it's easy for you to walk outside, you know, in my office, it's very easy for us to step outside. You know, it's right there. It's not like we have to go down a huge flight of stairs or take an elevator or anything. We can go right outside from anywhere in the suite. So if anybody needs to take a break to step outside, they're encouraged to do that. If somebody says, I need a sunshine break, we're like, yes, go take a sunshine break. Yay. And we cheer each other on. And that's anybody, any of my staff, any of my renters and any of the other practitioners and me. And so you can use your phone. Your phone will ping you and tell you to stand. Does your iPhone tell you to stand up?
No, my watch does.
Your watch does. Yeah. Does it? And it does that all the time?
Yep.
I touch your watch, it changes things.
That's yeah, cool. Yeah, it does yeah, change neat. Things. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I have I have an app connected to my watch, and my watch basically will say, I'll get a vibration through my wrist, and I'll look down, and it'll say, time to stand.
And so do you do it?
Yeah.
You always do it?
Yeah.
You always listen to what it says?
Well, you know, yeah.
Because if you're sitting, you're a shaker.
I'm always moving.
You have the ADHD thing where you're always shaking and moving.
I am a person in motion at all times.
So if you do that, so this is an interesting thing. So Ron has ADHD and he's got the hyperactivity type 2, not just the attention part. And you'll notice that some people with ADHD, if you're sitting talking to them, if they're sitting, they're shaking a foot. They're moving. Something is always moving. And, you know, sometimes it makes me crazy if I'm in the bed because the bed shakes. However, some people do that. They're always moving around. And people who do that tend to be slimmer, and he is. And people who do that probably don't need to do that standing up thing because they're always moving. And yet you do anyway because it probably feels good to you. Mm. Yeah. So... So there you go. So those are the issues with standing. So, I'm going to do, I have a little bit more time left. I was going to talk about the triple-demic, but I think we're going to push that off to next week because I want to get really into that. So let's just do a piece on the health benefits of stretching. Because stretching is an exercise that you can get into. You can get into it easily and quickly. Most people can stretch. Like if you have a priority, should you be exercising or should you be stretching? The answer is probably both. Stretching is really good for you. Stretching should not take a backseat to the rest of your exercise. It's a really good idea to stretch. And I know so many people who cycle or run and they don't stretch at the end of their workout. And I haven't been swimming lately, but when I used to swim in the pool, at the end of my workout, I'd be stretching at the side of the pool. And people would see me and go, oh, I should be doing that. Most people don't stretch when they're done with their pool workout. And you really should. And the nice thing about the pool is there are stretches that are easier to do in the pool because you have the buoyancy of the water. And when I'm in the pool, I can use the wall to hold on to and also to press my legs and my feet up against to get stretches that are harder to get when you're on land because you've got the buoyancy and then you can lift your leg and you can do like a knee, you can pull your knees into your chest and hold onto the wall and press your knees into the wall and you get an even nicer hamstrings or quad stretch. So you can, any sport that you're doing, you should be stretching at the end of your sport. So Stretching can help you improve your range of motion, decrease your risk of injury. So, you know, I see so many people get injured from their walking and hiking and running and skiing and all kinds of activities and tell me, oh, I don't stretch. I don't take the time to stretch. And, you know, when we're done with bike rides, we should really be stretching together at the end of the bike ride. And we don't tend to do that. So stretching benefits you in so many ways. There are lots of studies about the benefits of stretching. The studies have had mixed results. Some research shows that it doesn't reduce muscle soreness after exercise, and others show that lengthening the muscle and holding the stretch immediately before a sprint may slightly worsen performance. So probably, I'm not as big a fan of stretching before an activity. Before an activity, what's good to do is to warm up, where you do the range of motion of the activity without the intensity. So if you're warming up on a bike ride, and this is something we don't tend to do, like if we're on a club ride, we tend to just, you know, out of the gate as fast as possible, which is so not what you should be doing. If you're in a spin class, do you get into intervals right away?
No.
You warm
never,
up.
Never. Always. Right. I warm up a lot, probably more than most spin classes do.
Right. So you right. And so your warm up's going to be somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes.
Yeah, ten, sometimes 15.
15 is, and on your long, on your extreme spin days, it's going to be at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's That's like right. 15 to 18 minutes on those days.
Right.
With specific drills involved to really get your warm up done
right.
And to understand what you're going to be doing that day.
Yeah, the point yep. of warming up is to get the circulation into the areas where you need it and get the muscles warm. And muscles being warm means that there's blood in them, that you're getting
right.
the circulation where you need it to go. If you try to sprint on a cold muscle, expect to pull that muscle.
Right.
Yeah.
I also use it to pick up the cardiovascular system too, to make
That's
sure
right.
that, you know, to push the breathing a little bit and push the right. blood pumping a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. That's what you do.
Yep.
So you don't necessarily stretch before you do your activity.
Nope.
You warm up.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of activity is when you stretch.
Yep.
And so how does stretching benefit you? So some say it helps with delayed muscle soreness. Some say it does not. Stretching will give you better flexibility. Better flexibility can improve your performance in physical activities, decrease your injury risk, increase your muscle blood flow, which we talked about, help your joints move through their full range of motion, improve your ability to do your daily activities, just, you know, working around the house and gardening and driving your car and whatever. And also have your muscles work the most effectively. You may learn to enjoy stretching before playing soccer or dancing or riding your bike or running. Before you start stretching, make sure you do it safely and effectively. You can stretch anytime, anywhere, but you do want to have proper technique. If you do it incorrectly, it can actually hurt you. So you shouldn't consider stretching to be a warm-up, just what I said. Warming up, as I said, is going through the range of motion of your activity at a low intensity. You don't want to stretch cold muscles. Before stretching, you want to warm up with light walking, jogging, or biking for at least 5 to 10 minutes. So any activity that you start, 5 to 10 minutes of warm-up, and warm-up, as I said, is range of motion activities, whatever activity you're doing at a low intensity. And you probably don't want to stretch before an intense activity like sprinting or track and field. That you want to warm up for. Because the research shows that you can decrease performance if you stretch before. You don't want your muscles to be, if you're going to sprint and do something high intensity, you want your muscles to contract effectively. And you stretch them out too much, the cells are too far away from each other, you're not going to get as easy a contraction. Save the stretching for after the activity. Strive for symmetry. Your genetics for flexibility differ. And you're not going to be have the same flexibility on one side as well as the other. So focus on having equal flexibility from side to side, especially if you have history of an injury. You're not going to, you're going to be as flexible as you are. And if you're in a yoga class or you're stretching with other people, don't try to look like somebody else. Try to look like you. Figure out what works for you. When you're in a yoga class, we encourage you to use props and blocks so that you can get into a pose. And you shouldn't feel like you're not getting as much of a stretch. In fact, you doing pigeon on a block may be getting more of a stretch than someone else who's more flexible than you doing pigeon without props. So realize that whatever gets you into the pose, and if you have to modify it and if you have to use props, you're still getting a beneficial stretch. And it's just as beneficial as somebody who's not using props, sometimes more. Focus on your major muscle groups, your calves, thighs, hips, low back, neck, and shoulders, and stretch bilaterally. And of course, you want to stretch muscles that you usually use in your activity. Do not bounce. Bouncing is those dynamic stretches where you're bouncing. Those are not useful. If you're stretching at the end of a workout, you want to hold the stretches. So don't bounce, but do hold your stretch and breathe into the stretch at very least for 30 seconds. Some problem areas you need to hold around 60 seconds. If you do yin yoga or restorative yoga, you're going to hold a pose for anywhere from 90 seconds to 5 minutes. And I am a big fan of that. I think that doing stretches where you're holding for at least 90 seconds to 2 minutes, even if you're not doing actual yin yoga, I think that's really good. Do not aim for pain. You can look for your edge, but do not aim for pain. You don't want to have pain. Pain is a signal that you should not be going past wherever you've hit. You're going to feel tension while you're stretching, not pain. And if it hurts, you've pushed too far, back off on it. Use props. Do it at a less intense level. Make your stretches sport specific. So you want to stretch the muscles that you're using in the sport. So if you're a cyclist, you definitely want to do your hip flexors, your quads, and your hamstrings. And you want to do your lower back and your upper. I mean, for cycling, you need to stretch your whole body because you're stuck in this position, you know, in this chair pose for so long. Keep up with it. Make sure you do it even if it's just a 5 minute stretch after your activity. It's better to do a little bit than to do nothing. And also, it's really a good idea to do the stretching immediately after the activity, but if you miss, do it later. It's okay. You'll still get benefit from it, and think about doing a stretching routine that's at least 5 to 10 minutes long, if not longer. And bring movement into your stretching. Yoga, Tai Chi, Pilates, those can be more helpful. If you do a dynamic warm-up, that's what I already said. The dynamic warm-up is where you're warming up doing the activities of your sport at a lower intensity. Be cautious if you have a chronic condition or injury, and stretching won't prevent an overuse injury. If you do your sport too much, you can still get an overuse injury. So that's the importance of stretching. And that's it. That's all the time we have today. So I'm going to go.
How did that happen?
I know, because we were talking about so many interesting things. So happy birthday, Marley. Great help for to remind you to not sit so much, and also the benefits of stretching. So you've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storchendi, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storchendi. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.